sporting a pistol on her hip. Sheila's denunciation of residents became increasingly vehement. She would emerge as the volatile queen of the press conference. Her statements enraged Oregonians, but also created a buttress against those who opposed Rajneeshpuram.
You are listening to Rajneeshpuram, What Price Glory on KBOO.
The Rajneeshis spent $110 million building a city where none had stood before. A city with a dam and water reservoir, a shopping mall, discos and a gambling casino, a hotel, an airport, a bus system, and a completely self-sufficient farm, as well as living quarters to accommodate 6,000 people. For the Rajneeshis, the building of this city was their shining hour. The next 2 years would bring ugly confrontations between Rajneeshis and the Central Oregon residents, combining with a power struggle inside the commune that caused the eventual disintegration of Rajneeshpuram. Fall, 1984. Rajneeshpuram embarks on the Shera Home Project, beginning a chain of events triggering its own destruction. The question still remains, just how much did the guru know of the events of the next 2 years? But it was Ma Anand Sheela who would be blamed for criminal acts and the decline of the commune. Described by Rajneeshis as a mother lioness protecting her cubs, Sheela battled with all who opposed the commune, the Oregon residents, the press, the state government, and their greatest adversary, the Immigration and Naturalization Service.
They send people from Wasco County, they send people from state police all over the world. The people keep coming here to find something wrong. And so far, they fall flat on their faces.
A year later, Utopia dissolved almost as quickly as it was created, and the Bhagwan announced an end to his religion.
I welcome you all on this historical event. For the first time in the whole history of mankind, a religion has died.
Rajneeshpuram, What Price Paradise? The story of an experiment that failed. Part 2, A Utopia for Sale.
They called it the Share a Home Project, and more than 4,000 homeless people were bussed into Oregon from major cities all over the country just before winter of 1984.
We have about 4 busloads a day. There are representatives in 27 cities around the United States, about 160 people a day that are still coming in.
This was the first time many Americans heard about the Rajneeshis, as busloads of street people were shipped to the winter-chilled canyons of Rajneeshpuram. The Rajneeshis swore it was a charity program. They were providing needy people with shelter and spiritual transformation. Wasco County, the county in which Rajneeshpuram was located, argued it was a takeover plot to influence the November election. They accused the Rajneeshis of taking advantage of Oregon's same-day voter registration law, bringing in strangers to vote against their commissioners. This time, the Rajneeshis were not just doing battle with a small town, but were intruding on the territory of over 22,000 people. Rumors spread of impending violence. Sheila rose to battle, vowing to meet force with force.
And you tell your governors, you tell your attorney general, and all your bigoted pigs outside... that they dare touch any of our people, I'll have one of our person, I will have 15 of their heads, and I'm in business.
The homeless were offered a round-trip bus ticket, 3 vegetarian meals a day, a place to sleep, clothing, medical care, and a decent job. They insisted no one in Rajneeshpuram was being forced to register for the vote. In fact, Rajneesh leaders accused the street people of abusing their charity program. Press aide Ma Prem Sunshine.
people would come in from Santa Cruz. They would get a health check, teeth fixed, glasses, nice clothes, and they'd say, I'd like to go to Miami Beach, please. The second phase was, all right, if you're going to come, we will provide a bus ticket back to the city that you arrived from. Second phase was also abused. We realized that the majority of people were coming, saying, thank you very much, I never intended to stay here, I just wanted a vacation. The whole idea of the project was for both us and them. For them, for personal self-transformations, for us, for a social experiment to see how it would be to live with people like this, and whether or not our religion and our crime-free society would be able to hold up against having people like this involved in the community. So the phase now is before anyone gets on the bus, they're told. Our intention is to get people to make a commitment.
Some made that commitment. In this press conference, new arrivals sang praises to Rajneesh Puram.
Rajneesh Puram is now saying to America, bring us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free, and we won't humiliate them on Ellis Island, and we won't put them in factories in Chicago and New York and make them work 12-hour days like slaves. If anything is American and democratic, it's Rajneesh Puram. It's not the outside world. This is home. I love it. Thank you.
The Rajneeshis repeatedly denied forcing the street people to register, yet their political views were rarely subtle.
Well, I hope you're all.
Goodbye, Wayne. Your campaign's going down the drain.
Yeah.
Here, street people learn a song taunting State Representative Wayne Fawbush, who became especially unpopular with the Rajneeshis after he and Sheila debated on the Nightline television program. Ronald Ellis, like many homeless leaving the commune, confirmed suspicions that Rajneeshis were pressuring the homeless to register.
Well, they don't force you into voting, but they, when you go into the chow hall in the mornings, they announce over the loudspeaker that anybody that would like to vote, there will be a voter's registration set up in the cafeteria for them.
Most of the homeless didn't stay. Perhaps it was naive of the Rajneeshis to think that the homeless, many of whom were coming from warmer climates, could be happy with tent accommodations during winter at the bottom of a cold desert canyon. Many people, used to being independent and individualistic, just didn't adjust to communal living. Many expected to earn money for their work and were perplexed by their work as worship ethic. Most were just plain out of place.
Hold on. Listen, no, this kind of...
I want to...
We got all kinds of people here, as we know. Okay.
Call the peace force, take him out.
And even Sheila had a hard time keeping order among the misfits who didn't blend in with the structured routine of the commune dwellers.
We respect one another. You respect him. We do not want this kind of behavior. Do you understand that? Otherwise, this is not your home.
When Rajneesh Puram withdrew the offer of a return ticket, street people flooded the homeless shelters of nearby cities of Madras, The Dalles, and Portland. Michael Stoops, director of Baloney Joe's, a Portland homeless shelter, said the mass dumping of homeless population was too hard to handle.
On a bus arrives in downtown Portland in the middle of the night, only maybe 15 or 20 of that 50-member bus has a wherewithal to make it to the emergency shelters. And some people start hitchhiking, some people start hopping freight trains. And so we're not seeing everybody who has been dumped off in downtown Portland. You're dumping people who have no money, no resources, they don't know the town. They're angry at the Rajneeshis for reneging on their bus fare, and all that they want is back to their home community.
Adding more fuel to a fire that was quietly smoldering, the Rajneeshi-dominated city council voted to change the name of Antelope to Rajneesh. Nearly half the original Antelope residents had left. The vote carried 57 to 22. Hats declaring Wasco County bigot and proud of it, and better dead than red bumper stickers floated into Central Oregon. Anti-Rajneeshi petitions were circulating throughout the state, and Oregonians in faraway towns announced they would travel to Wasco County in droves just to outvote the Rajneeshis. Sheila's periodic outbursts didn't make things better.
Any of your politicians are worried about voting? Today I tell you, I didn't even have a thought occur to me that they can vote or anything to do with voting, but I got accused for that. I was bringing all of you to share with me what I had, little bread that I had, I wanted to share with you. I got accused of it, that because I invited you, that was because I wanted to take over the county and the politics. I tell you, the county is so f***ing bigoted, it deserves to be taken over.
In October, Sheila declared that two Rajneeshis would run for the Wasco County Commissioner seats. The fear of vote fraud was so strong that Secretary of State Norma Paulus rushed to the scene. She set up a screening process to make sure each potential voter was a resident of Oregon that required 20 days before registering. By this time, the Rajneeshis ended the Share a Home project, and they decided to boycott the elections. The Share a Home project cost the Rajneeshis over $1 million and garnered more publicity than any other Rajneeshi media event. After the Wasco County elections, Sheila would declare the homeless project a joke and that Oregon just didn't understand her sense of humor. A joke or not, it was one of the most unforgettable episodes of Oregon history. But more mysterious was a seemingly unrelated salmonella outbreak that poisoned over 700 people in the Dalles shortly before the election, the largest outbreak per capita in the nation. Shortly after the homeless project ended, the Bhagwan stepped into the spotlight and came out of his 3-year silence. Observers speculate that Sheila may have felt her role beginning to shrink. Sheila and Rajneeshpuram Mayor Swami Krishna Deva warned Oregon newspaper reporter Jeannie Sr., 1985 would be a juicy year.
Krishna Deva said, it's going to be a really exciting year. And Sheila came back from her world travels, and I went down and interviewed her, and she said, I have got a plan for something that's going to be even bigger than the homeless project. I'm just trying to check and get it through our legal people.
And indeed, a series of bizarre incidents did spread through the county. An arson fire broke out at the Wasco County Planning Office, damaging records of land use cases involving the Rajneeshis. There were speculations, later confirmed, that a man camp the Rajneeshis had moved into Antelope would be used to house AIDS victims. Then when Sheila took off on a world tour, observers wondered if she was looking for a new home for the Bhagwan. But other troubles were brewing. The Rajneeshis were plagued by libel suits from individuals and land use suits from environmental groups like 1,000 Friends. U.S. Immigrations was carrying on a lengthy investigation of the commune. Immigration officials suspected at least 350 sham marriages and believed the guru had exaggerated his medical condition to enter the country, but he was still allowed to stay on his commune as a religious worker.
I'm the best suman of the whole history of man.
Summer Festival, July 1985. 14,000 people journeyed to the commune to hear Rajneesh speak to disciples for the first time in over 3 years. Rajneesh now claimed 1 million followers. Sheila would later admit these figures were inflated, and Rajneesh never had more than 30,000 worldwide. In the 2-acre Rajneesh Mandir Hall, flanked by security guards holding semi-automatic rifles, the guru sat in his high-backed orthopedic chair. About 100 press people were there. As Rajneesh launched into a series of unrelated monologues, punctuated by one-liners and the laughter of his followers, Sheila would later accuse the guru of taking laughing gas and Valium.
I'm so happy that I'm continuously laughing with my sannyasins. And there is no reason why. Sometimes even I'm surprised what they are thinking, why they are laughing. But I join them in their laughter. For 5 years I have not seen a single newspaper. I don't read. I don't see the television. I don't know what is being said about me. I don't care, because I have no desire to be a respectable, great master, a messiah, a prophet. I'm just an ordinary man. I'm not going to overburden the earth, and when I'm going to die, who cares what happens?
The line for the Bhagwan's drive-by stretched 4 miles long. A security truck led the drive-by, and security guards with semi-automatic rifles followed behind. A helicopter hovered above to protect the Rajneesh. Visitors' tents cluttered the commune. State police increased patrols in Rajneeshpuram, a source of irritation to an uncommonly subdued Sheila.
This is a peaceful community. It's going to remain peaceful.
Just so you understand, they'll keep coming down. When something this large is happening in my particular patrol area, it behooves me to offer my services to your peace force.
We were not offered the services. Oh, sure. We were demanded that we must have your services. It was demanded of us. And this is the most peaceful community existing anywhere in the world. Rajneeshis will be always happy and healthy, no matter where they go, even in the city of Rajneeshpuram.
Rajneeshpuram never fulfilled Sheila's prediction. In September 1985, the Bhagwan announced Sheila and a dozen other top leaders had fled the ranch, headed for Europe. The power structure had collapsed. Rajneesh accused Sheila and her closest aides of wiretapping the commune, setting fire to the Wasco County Planning Office, trying to murder his doctor and state officials, causing the salmonella epidemic, and poisoning the Dalles water supply. He also accused Sheila of making off with $40 to $50 million of Rajneesh organization money, which he denied. Ma Prem Hasya took over as personal secretary. Hasya, a producer of the Godfather film, belonged to a new Rajneeshi faction nicknamed the Hollywood Groupies because of their supposed big money connections. Here, Hasya begins the book-burning ceremony by denouncing Sheila.
This was Sheila's desire to be high priestess. and Sheila's desire for popedom. And today we're celebrating that Rajneeshism is dead.
I welcome you all on this historical event. For the first time in the whole history of mankind, a religion has died.
By now, Rajneesh was attempting to mend the rift with Oregon that threatened to drive him out of his commune. Perhaps it was a sense of desperation that led him to end his religion.
I have never wanted it to be born in the first place. But because I was in silence and isolation, a gang of fascists managed to create it. I'm against all religions because they have done only harm to humanity. They have given you nothing except the disease AIDS. I am not your leader. You are not my follower. Just being friends is enough. Perhaps only in friendship something can transpire between me and you. Only in loving, sharing, perhaps you may wake up.
The Rajneeshis burned thousands of copies of the Book of Rajneeshism in the commune crematorium. Sheila had compiled the book. Rajneesh now said it misrepresented his ideals. Followers could now turn in their malas and wear any color they chose. Now there was no religion, no conflict of church and state. The Bhagwan demanded that Attorney General Dave Frohmeyer drop the suit challenging Rajneeshpuram as a city.
His only argument was that religion and state are being mixed. Now there is no religion. So while you were burning Rajneeshism, the book, in the crematorium, you have burned also poor Frommeyer.
The Bhagwan announced Antelope would no longer be called Rajneesh, a peace gesture to some, a dramatic ploy to others.
City of Rajneesh was one of the basic rifts. I am changing it again into Antelope. Antelope was perfectly beautiful name. And why hurt people who had lived there for generations? And we are ready to move from out of Antelope. So Antelope belongs to Antelope people. It is their city, and whatever they want to do, they can do. We are ready to drop all the cases against the state. They should drop their case of mixing religion with state. We have put in this desert $200 million to change it into an oasis. We can make it one of the most beautiful holiday spots, a tourist center which will help Oregon's economy immensely. Green card or no green card, I'm going to be here forever.
On October 28th, Rajneesh was arrested in North Carolina, allegedly en route to Bermuda. He was charged with fleeing to avoid prosecution and arranging sham marriages. The guru, shackled and chained, made front-page headlines across the country, and followers decried his treatment. Ma Prem Hasya.
His feet are swollen, very frail, very fragile. His breathing is difficult. His blood pressure seems to be somewhat elevated. The main condition is the pain in his back, and his breath is short, and he's very hoarse. I think it's outrageous that Bhagwan has been treated like a criminal before he has been tried. In fact, he's an innocent man, a gentle being, a kind being that the likes there isn't in the world. I hope some measures can be taken against this.
The same day Rajneesh was arrested, Sheila and her two closest assistants were arrested in West Germany for the attempted murder of the guru's doctor. After 11 days in federal custody, Rajneesh arrived in Portland and was released on a $500,000 bail. Ma Prem Hasya and friends breathed a sigh of relief that day as they joked with the press.
And what steps will be taken to protect Bhagwan from leaving?
Well, one was to remove, not to have any planes that could go
transatlantic or
across
the
Atlantic,
yeah,
or over the ocean or what,
yeah,
have you.
So the press will have to come out in their bicycles now. No fancy planes.
Only little ones.
8 days later, Rajneesh, while protesting his innocence, pleaded guilty to felony charges of arranging sham marriages and lying to U.S. immigrations. The rest of the charges were dropped upon payment of a $400,000 fine and his immediate departure from the country. Public officials claimed victory. Prosecuting U.S. Attorney Charles Turner.
And it's a public acknowledgement of guilt by Rajneesh. He acknowledged that the information that we furnished the court today and the public was sufficient to convict him of all counts, and he took the lesser of two evils, namely a conviction on counts 1 and 34 and a voluntary departure from the country.
Press Relations Director Ma Prem Isabel.
Bhagwan has stated he is innocent. He entered the plea of guilty in order to avoid harassment for him and for his people, if possible. I'm sad for this country and what they have done to this man. I'm relieved that he'll be able to get out of here and that hopefully we'll never see something like this man in chains ever again.
Within minutes of the hearing, Rajneesh headed to the Portland airport, bound for India with only his secretary, physician, and a few other disciples. Oregonians were shocked, and Antelope residents couldn't believe that they had won. Gene Opry became acting mayor shortly after the Rajneeshis vacated the city of Antelope.
The neatest thing about it was when I seen him sitting in that jail. You know, and here he was sitting in his shackles. You know, I mean, I thought, you know, this can really happen then. You know, no matter who you are, if you do something wrong, they're going to do something about it.
Scarcely a week after Rajneesh left the U.S., former mayor Swami Krishnadeva pleaded guilty to racketeering and immigration fraud and turned state's witness. According to Krishnadeva, there was never a separation of church and state at Rajneeshpuram. Rajneesh and Sheila handpicked the members of both Antelope and Rajneeshpuram city councils, the school district, and the fire department. Deva charged that Sheila had final say on every major city decision, and the Rajneeshi corporations were run as one entity with Sheila in charge. But the Bhagwan always had ultimate authority. The same day Deva's accusations came out, Rajneeshpuram acting mayor Swami Prem Nuran announced the commune would close. All its assets would be sold. Sannyasins would begin making the exodus. Ma Prem Yusapa was the last person to come to Rajneeshpuram.
Most people could just burst into tears. To build this incredible paradise, you could just sit down in the bus and get a hug from somebody you never saw before that is just what you need, and then get up at your stop, never talk, nothing, you know. And it's just a thrill that people can be so warm and loving to each other. The fact that it's closing, I could just cry. I could see being a commune member. I mean, I've lived in the world. You know, this is where I'd rather be.
Press aide Ma Ananda Sarita has a more philosophical attitude about leaving the commune and going out into the world.
It's a real challenge to take what we've learned here, go out, and use it. Because Bhagwan had always said that he wants us to live in the world, but not be burdened by it, not be attached to it. His vision of sannyas is very beautiful. It's like a lotus that rests in the mud, but isn't touched by it. And that's how we're living our lives. We're lotuses living in the mud of the world, and perhaps we can bring some beauty to it and some clarity.
By the end of 1985, a federal judge declared the city's incorporation illegal because there was no church-state separation. The ranch was put up for sale for $40 million. A Dallas car dealer bought the fabled Rolls-Royce collection, 86 cars, for between $5 to $7 million. Central Oregon residents who had never before visited the commune streamed in to buy up everything from washing machines and heavy equipment to guns and furniture at rock-bottom prices. Perhaps if the Rajneeshis had been less aggressive, less abrasive, and had been more aware of the feelings of the Central Oregon residents, their community might have been allowed to grow. Whether followers were blinded by the leaders or not, many sannyasins like Swami Anshumali resent having to pay for their leaders' mistakes.
How could it be possible that we would be persecuted? Most of us are white, most of us are wealthy. We qualify for the kind of people that don't get persecuted in the society. Sheila has been, in a way, a thorn in our relationship with Oregon. I would hope that that would become history. So much has happened since Sheila's departure that we could very easily turn that into history very fast, and we could start anew. But there was only one Sheila, that she did not represent us. Sheila is paying for whatever she's done. She's been arrested, she will be judged, and the courts will decide.
Meanwhile, Sheila and her two assistants were extradited to Oregon and now await trial. They are being held for attempted murder, wiretapping, and immigration fraud. The Bhagwan left India and Nepal after not finding a permanent home. He was ousted in Crete for attacking the Greek Orthodox Church, denied permission to land in London, and stayed briefly in Ireland. In April, the guru was finally allowed to settle in Uruguay. The Rajneeshpuram social experiment tested Oregon's legal system and the character of the residents. The Rajneeshis' presence could have led to violent confrontations, and luckily, that did not occur. Reporter Jeannie Senior.
There are a lot of Oregonians who aren't going to trust strangers readily. That wide-open Eastern Oregon character got kicked in the teeth. It taught a lot of sannyasins a lesson about acceding too readily into the mode of letting someone else think for them. It was the Woodstock generation turned loose with all the money that they could possibly need to spend on creating what they wanted to create. And it must have been a challenge, and it must have been an incredible high for the people who were allowed to come live there and work on it.
For the people who remain in Antelope, an unusual calm has settled in once again. Gene Oprey.
Somebody said to Jim, what are you going to talk about when the Rajneesh are gone? And Jim said, the weather. And you know, it is really neat. You know, it used to be when anybody used to come, you know, it's all we talked about, right? Now we don't, you don't talk about it as much anymore, do we?
Dozens of lawsuits are still pending against the commune and Rajneeshi foundations. There are reports of declining memberships, and many wonder just how long the movement can stay afloat financially under the weight of the litigation and loss of membership. In the meantime, Utopia may have fallen, but Rajneeshis say they don't need a home base anymore. The world is their home, as they scatter to form smaller communes, smaller versions of what they call paradise. Ma Ananda Sarita.
The funny thing is that perhaps Oregon thought they were going to get rid of us, but actually we might end up next door. We were concentrated in this small community, but now people are just spreading out. It's almost like a seed pod that bursts open. All the seeds scatter everywhere with the wind. You don't know where they're going to end up. And wherever they end up, there's going to be sannyasin flowers. Watch out.
This is Bill Douglas.
This program was produced by Dee Roberts with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting through National Public Radio's Satellite Program Development Fund. Contributing reporters were Jazz Sound, Mark Roberts, Tom Goldman, and Tony Brooks. Original music was composed by Trey Gunn. The engineer was Ron Royer.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts. Some final words on Rajneeshpuram, What Price Paradise? Ma Anand Sheela pleaded guilty to arson and wiretapping and was in prison in California until 1988. She moved to Switzerland, where she runs two nursing facilities for older people. The Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh went back to India in 1987 and died in 1990 at the age of 58. The Oregon Supreme Court ended litigation with Rajneeshpuram in 1987, leaving it empty and bankrupt. It was later bought and donated to a Christian youth organization for a summer camp. You've just heard my first documentary, Rajneeshpuram, What Price Paradise, produced originally in 1987 and recently found by Selena Chow, KBOO's archive consultant. Thank you to KBOO for bringing my documentary back.